So just, hey, if you're new here, my name is John Wagler, and I'm part of the team here. And so I just wanted to say, if you are new here, just I'm so grateful that you're here. If you're looking for a new church home, hopefully this will be a place for you. If you're trying to figure out faith in God and this just purpose in life, just know that this truly is a safe place for you to do that and ask your questions. And so I'm just so thankful that you are here. The heat in this room and the spaces, just a shout out to everyone in the lobby. Thank you for sitting out there, both the 9:45 and now 11 o'clock. We have had a lot of people out in the lobby. And so, congrats to you guys. And so that brings up a whole other thing that I just want to talk about, which is our facility kind of update. If you've been around here, you know that we're moving into a larger area in a different part of this building. It's just on the other side of this wall, actually. And we'll be able to seat roughly 600 to 700 people. So we'll go back to two services for a season of time. I think we'll be at three at some point in the fall. But we are almost there. Okay, so we're just a few weeks away, and we're trying to get it as quickly as we can. Just some things have happened, and so we're almost there, though, so just stay flexible with us for just a few more weeks. We aren't going to resurrect the 4 o'clock service. It's gone, y'all. And so the 4 o'clock's gone, and so we'll go back to two services here in probably July. And so anyway, just so thank you for being flexible with that. The second thing is we have all of our Hill City Hangouts are starting for the summer, are starting actually this week. We have a bunch of generational things happening. I think the Boomer actually barbecue is this week, if I'm not mistaken. And so there you can see all the events on our website at hillcityrva.com. It's just look for the Hangouts there. And there's a ton of options for you guys all over the next couple of months. So just be able to meet people and find some community here. And the third thing is July 14th is a date I want you guys to prioritize and put on your calendars. We're going to have a Hooray RVA Day because we love Richmond so much. And we do a lot of things throughout the year, and you guys do it in your personal lives to just make Richmond better. But we're all gathering together. We like to do this at least once a year where we all gather together and do something together. So we have a bunch of projects that we're going to do just throughout the city, and some will actually be here as well, not for this building, but just prep work here. And a lot of them are going to be family-friendly options. And so July 14th, that's coming. We're going to have ways to sign up for the projects. It'll be like 9 to 2 on that Saturday. So it'll be a super fun day to meet people, serve together, and be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community. So we're in our Back to Basics series. And so if you haven't been with us, the tagline for the whole series is simplicity creates margin for the extraordinary to happen. And so we've been going back to the basics of our faith. We've been going back to the basics of why we do this. And so we started off the series talking about why church? Like, what does it matter? Why is it so important to gather together? And in the culture that we want here at Hill City. The second thing we did, the second week, we looked at generosity and why it's so important to have a heart of generosity and what that looks like and how it can be so transcendent in the city. And then last week, we talked about singing. And I know a lot of you guys were on Memorial Day vacations, but good job clapping this week. We didn't have to put the hands on the screen yet, like I said we were going to do. So that was good. But you guys did a really good job. The last week when we talked about singing, it was awesome just to see your response as we sang together after the sermon. So good job with that. And then this week we're talking about prayer. Next 2 weeks we're going to talk about the Bible. And so meaning we're going to look at like kind of the history of it, how it came together, and then how do we get the most out of it. And then the week after that will be baptisms, and then we'll do communion for the last week, and then we'll be in our At the Movie series for 4 weeks. And so that's your upcoming couple of months. So we're going to be talking about prayer today, and I want to start off by just a little quiz, because there's some great, if you were to like Google prayer quotes, there's like a zillion of them. And so there were a few that I really liked, and so I want to do like a Who Said It quiz. So this will be fun, see how smart you guys are. So here's the first one. The only time my prayers are never answered is on the golf course. Is it A, Tiger Woods, B, Billy Graham, B, or C, Billy Madison, or D, Donald Trump? Which one is it? B. Thank you, Ben, for saying it. B, Billy Graham, though Tiger Woods should probably say this as well. secondly, it is not well for a man to pray cream and live skim milk. Is that A, the Chick-fil-A cow, B, George Washington, C, Henry Ward Beecher, or D, Prince? C, you guys are so like firm in your answer. C, Henry Ward Beecher. The third one here is prayer your steering wheel or spare tire? is A, Corrie Ten Boom, who survived the Holocaust, B, Martin Luther, who was a theologian, C, Martin Luther King, you know who he is, or D, Carrie Underwood. How many think it's A? B. C. D. No, it's A. Corrie Ten Boom. The last one is this. We need to pray just to make it today. Who said it? Donald Glover, Justin Bieber, MC Hammer, or Drake? Because it's God's plan. Do you think it's A? How many think it's A? B. C. That's all my 90s hip-hop fans. D. That's C. MC Hammer. We'll play it for you at the end as you're going out. So prayer is like a part of our community and a part of our faith, and it's a part of like everyone's life, whether they realize it or not. Like, there's this aspect to prayer, and it's got to be an integral part of our faith. We cannot connect to God like we should and be in relationship with God like we should unless we pray. It's not possible. It's not possible to have a deep connection with God and not pray. And so prayer has to be a vibrant and integral part of our faith. Now, here's the thing that happens, though. Prayer can be sometimes confusing. Prayer can be overwhelming. Prayer can feel like I don't know the words to say. Have you guys ever felt like you didn't know the right words to say when praying? It's okay. Like, if someone, like, you're like, someone's like, hey, you go to church. Why don't you pray for the meal? And you're like, Like, sometimes we kind of struggle with the right words to say, or we make it really long or something like that. But in thinking about that, I knew we just had to show this one movie clip, because I didn't think it was fair to do something on prayer and not show this clip from Meet the Parents, if you guys have ever seen that. It's one of my favorite prayer clips I've ever seen. So maybe this is like you. Let's take a watch. Take a look.
Would you like cigarettes?
Greg's Jewish, Dad. You know that.
You're telling me the Jews don't pray, honey? Unless you have some objection.
No, I'd love to. Pam, come on, it's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I said grace at many a dinner table. It's okay. Oh, dear God, thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day by day. Day by day, by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray. To love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day.
Amen, amen. Sometimes it's like interesting when you just hear people pray because they don't know the right words to say, or they feel like they have to over-spiritualize things or make it sound really Christian, you know, and they say words that maybe even God doesn't even understand. And so like there's like this sometimes this weight of prayer that we can confuse ourselves on. And I was with somebody, Lacey and I went out to dinner with someone who's up here to visit us, and he was telling this story. He was working with some orphans in Mexico, and we were just talking about prayer, and he goes, my favorite story is like I sat around with all these kids. They're around the table, and there's a bunch of kids around this table, and whenever they got their meals, they had this, he goes, the simple, most beautiful prayer you'll ever hear. And he goes, here's what they would do. They would take their plates of food, and one kid would raise it and say, to the king, and then all the other kids would say, to the king, and they'll say amen, like that. And that's what like this heartfelt, like simple prayer. And I was telling one of my friends that, and so he started doing it. We started doing that too at our house. But he was doing it with his kids, and like his kids added in dilly dilly after that. But like that's a whole other conversation. But there's this simplicity of prayer that sometimes like we just get it too confused, or we're trying to make it more complicated than it actually is. When we pray, it should sound like us. When we pray, just talk like you normally talk. Just be who you are. Like God made you that way. Okay, so just be who you are. And when you pray, then it makes it easier to establish a connection with God that way. When I pray, it's the same way I talk to friends. It's the same way I talk to family. It's the same way I talk here up on stage. Like I'm no different when I pray. I joke around with God in my prayers because sometimes I think he might have a sense of humor. So I say things that are maybe funny to him. I don't know, but like, there's just like, that's how he wired me to be. And so just be who you are. It's important to do that. But I get it that sometimes prayer can be confusing. Now, we don't know why some prayers are answered and why some prayers aren't answered, why it seems like some people have a better connection to God than others and all of that stuff. And I get it. But I do think that there are some basics that we can have with prayer. I wrote this line down for today. It just says this. It says, simple prayers lead to extraordinary answers. That simple prayers lead to extraordinary answers. And why? Because it's when we break it down to the basics of everything, when we make it just simple, we are opening ourselves up to what God has for us. And so it's different. And so I want to take a look at some of the basics of prayer, and we're going to look at a passage in Philippians 1, which is a letter that this guy named Paul wrote to the early church. Paul was one of the leaders and one of the first early Christians and helped start this movement of Christianity. And he started this church in Philippi. Now, it was funded by this woman named Lydia and some other women. They backed the whole thing and got this church started with Paul and Silas. And the city of Philippi, actually in and of itself, was pretty interesting. It was an incredibly racist city. They had a lot of turmoil in it. And then here's what happened. Paul and Silas come in there with this message of Jesus, and everything gets flipped upside down. They believe in what this message of Jesus and how we're supposed to treat people and love people, and it just changes everything. It transforms the whole city. Later on, we read, because this church, Philippi, was the first European Christian church, and so what we end up reading later is that Paul writes about them and says, their generosity, even though they were pretty poor, their generosity should be a model to all other believers and all other churches. And so they got elevated and empowered because of their hearts. It was just pretty amazing what the message of Jesus did in this community. And so Paul writes this letter back to them, partially to just encourage them, partially to answer some of the questions that they had and what they were working through. Because again, Christians during that time were facing severe persecution. And so the end result is Paul writes this letter. And so they receive this letter. And I love what he writes in chapter 1. He says this, starting in verse 3. We're going to be in verse 3 through 11. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring you bring much glory and praise to God. And so here's the first thing. Prayer keeps us focused. The prayer keeps us focused. You know, what happens when we start to pray is it allows us to remain focused on the purpose that we should have, and it allows us to be consistent with that. There's a reality that if right now in your life you feel like you're all over the place and you can't figure out what to do and you just feel like, man, you make one decision over here, one decision over here, and nothing seems to like come together, it's because you lack focus on what really matters. And so what prayer does, that every time we pray, it brings us back to where our purpose is. It brings us back to the center. It brings us back to say, you know what? My thoughts and my opinions and my decisions are going to be based on who you are, God. And so what it does, it makes sure that, like, hey, we've got all these distractions happening around us, but man, let's bring it right back so we can have purpose and consistency. And so prayer allows us to do that. It builds a great habit. It builds a great foundation for us to then go off of from there. So prayer gives us that focus that we need. That's why Paul is saying to them, hey, I want you guys to remember this. I want you guys to stay focused on this good news which got us to this place. That's the really important piece. I get it. People are trying to kill you. I get it. Things are getting really rough. But he's like, no. Bring it back. Make sure you remain focused on what really matters and what really will give you your purpose and the consistency that you truly desire in your life. What I love when you read, and I've been kind of reading through the book of Acts and these early letters a lot here recently just because of the early church model. And what I just was super interesting to me was when you started looking at the fact that early Christians were getting murdered, they were getting persecuted and beaten, they were losing family members and all this other stuff was happening. Yet, they remained very purposeful and confident in who they were and what they were trying to accomplish. And one of the things that I started realizing was, man, every time you read a letter, it was like there was prayer in it. Every time they gathered around together, it was about prayer and community and eating together. It was like this interesting dynamic that was brought apart in the early church, that no matter what they faced, they were able to stay focused. And one of the key elements was because of prayer. And so even the reality, the quality of prayer and faith was not determined by the presence of or lack of pain in their lives. Like no matter what was happening in their circumstances, it wasn't like, okay, now I'm good with God. Oh, it's bad. All right, now I'm not. See, what prayer did for them, it kept bringing them back. And they were like, no matter what's coming at you, no matter what life is throwing at you, no matter what is like good or bad, like it doesn't have to always be bad. It can be like really good. No matter what's coming at you, prayer kept bringing them back. Kept bringing them back and focused on what really, truly mattered. The other thing that you'll begin to see is that as they began to pray, and you'll discover this in your own life too, is that as you begin to pray more, your heart becomes filled with gratitude because you're focused on what matters. You're focused on the right purpose. And so then as you become more grateful, that becomes contagious in your life. Like when you're around people who are grateful, you're not like, oh, I hate that. You're like, I love how grateful and kind and compassionate. We are drawn to those things. And did you ever notice how then that gets contagious? Whenever you're around someone who's just like, gosh, I'm just so thankful that you're my friend. I'm just so thankful that God brought us together. I'm just so thankful. And you kind of hear those things in your own soul. It just feels like, hey, I'm thankful too. This feels right. This feels good. And so what prayer does, it begins to stir that up in us. And so that gratefulness starts being contagious. It bleeds out into other areas of our lives and then actually to people around us as well. I think prayer is interesting because it allows us to focus on the right things in terms of how many of you guys are thankful for the prayers God didn't answer? Like you're like, man, I'm so thankful I'm not married to him or her right now. You know, like there's like those moments. And so what prayer then allows us to do is, all right, I'm thankful that God didn't answer that prayer in the way that I thought it would be. I'm thankful I didn't get that job I thought was the best. I'm thankful that that person that I thought was, yes, the one, that actually it never happened. And so but then as we begin to pray more and remember things more and all of the, like we begin with this heart of gratefulness begins to be stirred up in us. Why? Because we're focused on the right things. And that's what Paul is pushing them to. Remember the good news. Remember what this means. And as you find your purpose there, bring a consistency in your life. The second thing that we see is that prayer stops us from unbelief. Prayer stops us from unbelief. Our culture right now is tough with this part. If you think about what you can believe, it's hard to know. We live in a world of like a bunch of false narratives all the time. And I remember this past Tuesday during staff meeting, we were talking about bots and just how they work on social media and everything and how like you'll see comments made by who you think are people, but they're actually really bots or like these bots will like write articles and you think they're humans writing them, but they're just not. And yet people believe stuff and make opinions on these things. And so it's like crazy like that this is the world we live in right now, that you just, it's hard to like figure out if you can believe certain things. And it becomes a distraction and creates these certain narratives that may not actually be true and can cause some unbelief or belief in the wrong things. But what prayer can do is can, again, keeps bringing us back to what really matters. I mean, when you think about statistics, like I love statistics and research on things, but you can always shape statistics to like whatever you want them to say. And so there's this one that's always like, this narrative that's put out there that I've just been curious about. And one is, like, in the last election, they always say that 81% of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump. And so it's just like an interesting thing, because I'm like, gosh, it just doesn't seem like that's my experience, just whether someone did or didn't, whatever. That's, I'm just like, in my experience with people, it's like, that doesn't seem that way. And so I was sitting with someone who's heavily involved in politics here in Virginia, and he said this to me. He said, only 50% of professing Christians are actually registered to vote, and out of those 50%, only 25% voted in the last election. So all of a sudden, I'm like, that's a whole different narrative with the numbers. You know, so, and again, it's just like we have all these things like that are trying to distract us and create these narratives in our lives. And what that can do, it diverts our focus from where it should be. And then we start putting our trust and faith in other things that we shouldn't. But prayer will bring us back to the belief that we should have. And so when Paul is talking in verse 6, he's trying to, again, get them back to what they were believing. And he's like, don't stop believing in this. He's like, I'm certain. He's like, God made this promise to you, and he's going to be faithful, and he began the good work. He's not like us. When we make promises, sometimes we don't fulfill them, or we start something, we don't necessarily finish it, but not God. He started a work in us, and I promise you he's going to finish it. Don't stop believing in it. For the sake of quoting Journey, hold on to that feeling that you have with Jesus. Like, it is like, you've got to, like, hold on to that, because I'm telling you, it sets the right foundation for your life. So prayer keeps us focused. Prayer starts keeping us from unbelief, because Paul knew that, hey, if you're focusing on the right things, if you don't stop believing in this foundational element of who Jesus is, if you stay there no matter what distraction or narrative comes your way, it just doesn't matter. It's like Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. If you haven't ever listened to that in its entirety, you really should. It is an amazing speech for a lot of different reasons. I love it as a communicator. But one of the things that I love about it is there's no plan in it. It's a belief. So what he's doing in that moment, he's not trying to be like, hey, we're going to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and here's the, we're going to list it out. What is he doing? He's inspiring to get people to believe. And it wasn't just one kind of person. You know, roughly 25 to 30% of people were white in that audience, right? So it wasn't just one kind of person. It was trying to get everyone to inspire everyone to believe in something. Why? Because he knew, if I can get you to believe in this dream, it can orient your decisions and your actions in the right way. And it was an unbelievable, I'd call it a sermon, but an unbelievable talk that he gives. Why? To inspire people to believe. And here's what prayer does. Prayer will keep us grounded in the right belief in things. But here's what I think happens. We get so distracted by everything else. So distracted. And then we live out our lives in such a way that it like goes against what we say we believe. You see, what prayer does is it will keep bringing us back. Like, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you really trust God? Do you really believe God can come through? Do you really believe that that's wisdom there from God? And so here's the problem. Right now, I think culturally, it seems like we believe, and I would put Christian culture into this too. Not everybody, but just as a whole. It seems like we believe more in America, more in violence, more in a bigger military, more in wealth, more in status, more in power than we do in God. It seems like when we think, you know what would cure this problem? More laws. You know what would cure this problem? Ba-da-da. Seems like we go there way before we say, hey, how would Jesus feel about this? See, what prayer does is this, and I've said this to you guys so many times if you've been here. What prayer does, it keeps bringing us back to Jesus. And if our opinions and our thoughts don't go hand in hand with what Jesus taught, then we are wrong. But what prayer does is it brings us back to, okay, what did Jesus teach? Let me focus on what matters. Let me find my purpose. Let me concentrate on what I say I believe. See, if we really believe that Jesus is the answer, then we will desire to live that way. So if in our hearts we're like, you know what? We realize, man, all I ever do is like, I think my own way or political way or whatever way we think, like, and what that tells us is that we don't really truly believe Jesus is the answer. Because if we really, truly believe Jesus is the answer, we would look at every aspect of our lives and say, man, how can I pull from what Jesus taught on this and let it speak truth into who I am? Speak truth into how I love. Speak truth into how I am at work. Speak truth into how I do my money. Speak truth in how we treat people. And kind of go through, like, that's when we really believe it, that's what we'll do. And what prayer does is it gets us back there to say, you know what? I do believe this. And I'm going to believe that Jesus is the answer. And now I'm going to live like it. But it requires us to be centered in prayer. The third thing is this. Prayer deepens our affection towards others. It deepens our affection towards others. You know, it is really hard to be bitter and angry and unforgiving to someone you are praying for. I mean, it's hard. Like, you gotta work at it. And I know this to be true in my own life. There were a couple of people a few years ago that, like, wronged me in a pretty large way. And never got an apology, never, they tried to, like, really, like, put a dent in my reputation and kind of told some lies about me and stuff. And never apologized, nothing. And I realized I had some bitterness in my heart. I did. And so Lacey actually was the one that, like, really pushed me on this. And she was like, just keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. I was like, no. You know, but she was right. And so what happened is I started praying for them, and I just started, like, I could, like, feel my heart turning to where all of a sudden I felt like the bitterness and the anger and the unforgiveness just subsiding. And then something else started changing, and I just started praying, like, hey, I just want what's best for them. And then before I knew it, I didn't require an apology anymore. I didn't require anything from them, actually. And so what I discovered is through that prayer, it was actually really about God reshaping my own heart and saving me from that bitterness and anger and all of those things. And so it wasn't about them. It was like God doing a work in me through that prayer time. And so that might be your case. And listen, you might be thinking to yourself, yeah, but Wags, it wasn't just about lies. It was about something way different than that and harder than that. And I don't claim that this is easy, so don't mishear what I'm saying. I'm not saying, hey, if you just pray, it'll wrap everything in a nice, neat bow, because I know that's not necessarily the case. But here's what I do believe. That if we commit to it, God will begin to reshape your heart. I do believe God will work at it, and it might not be easy. It might be time-consuming, and it might take way longer than you think. But I do believe on the other end of it is God just going to really prep you and transform you, and you're going to look back and say, oh my gosh, look what he's done in my life. See, what prayer does is it reminds us, too, of where we've been. So as we begin to pray, we're reminded of, like, man, I have come this far. This is crazy. And so it just becomes a reminder. But here's why also prayer then becomes, it deepens our affection for people. Because as we begin to pray for people, it reshapes our hearts towards them. As we see how far we've come, we start thinking this. That means they can come this far. That means they can learn and grow. That means they can be changed. And so it deepens your affection to see what truly would be best for other people. It deepens your affection and begin to see, I want them to experience God in such a real way. Even seeing you guys sitting here, every Sunday morning, first of all, every Tuesday we pray for everybody here. And I realize that I don't know everybody's name here. I try my best. And it's hard to remember 1,500, 1,600 names. But I study Facebook and Instagram all the time. However, every Tuesday we pray for everybody. We've got a prayer team that kind of gets all the prayer requests that get texted in or sent in, and they pray for stuff. On Sunday mornings, I come here. I'm usually here about 6 in the morning. And I come here, and this morning, I spent about 20 minutes just praying. And praying for you guys, praying that you would be overwhelmed by the love of Christ walking into this building, that you would feel like you are welcome, that you are significant, and that you belong, that you would have a moment with God today that surprises you. I pray that every single time I speak, that I pray that it's God's heart and not my words, and that if I ever misspeak, that God interrupts that somehow. And though you guys sometimes let me know about it. But, like, there's like, this element that I'm like, well, what does that do that deepens my affection for every single one of you, even if I don't know you by name. It's just like when I see people coming through the lobby, it just like, it makes my heart leap. Because I just, when I'm praying for somebody, it's just like, oh my gosh, they're here. And so then what happens is like, man, I hope like everything's on point. And I hope, again, it just deepens the affection that we have for each other. Consistently praying for other people builds the attachment to who they are and what they are doing. So you just care differently about people around you. As you begin to pray this way too, because your affection grows and you're going to have this deeper desire to be in community with people. And that's where you really grow. You know, the Christian faith is not one of isolation. You were not designed to be in isolation. You were not designed. I know sometimes people use it as a crutch. Like, I'm not a people person. I'm introverted. But like, you're not designed to be in isolation. Like, God designed you to be in community with people. Even if it's a small community, it designed you to be that way. And through prayer, you discover that on a deeper level. And ultimately, and this is the line I put with this one, prayer motivates us to truly want the best for others. Prayer will motivate us to truly want the best for others. And here's the last point. Prayer is productive. Prayer is productive. What Paul says in there is that prayer produces fruit of our salvation, meaning our character. He also says that what prayer will do is allows us to have wisdom and understanding and leads us to holy and blameless lives. Prayer will consistently bring us back to what really matters. So prayer produces these things inside of us. And so even when you think about as you begin to pray, the reason why it produces character is because you take time to pause and think rather than just making decisions. It's like when I pray, I pause and I think. I'm like, all right, God, like, does this line up? Does this matter? Do I need to talk to someone else? Like, it makes us pause and think and take things in. And what that does is the end result builds wisdom in us. I'll give you an example of this, and maybe you will resonate with it. We did college ministry for years. And one time this guy I was meeting with was dating somebody, and he was like, oh, man, like, we just keep messing up, and we want to do things the right way, and kind of goes through this whole spiel, and we've been talking about it for months. And so I'd already given him, like, a bunch of, like, other things to do. I'm like, you know, don't sleep over each other's rooms. Like, stay vertical. Like, do these other things. I said to him, I was like, hey, 9 o'clock is like your witching hour, apparently, like when you guys can't make good decisions. And so I was like, what if, like, at 9 o'clock you set it on your alarm on your phones that it would go off when you were together and it just said, pray together. And I said, do you think that would make a difference? And he's like, yeah, it'd make a huge difference. And then I go, well, will you do it? He's like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, well, anyway. But my point is like, he didn't do it. But like, my point is that prayer produces something in us. Like, it gives us this wisdom. Like, it's before our hands. Like, a lot of times people are like, we want to pray for the miracle to happen. And listen, and this is another point of prayer. Prayer produces our belief in the impossible. Like, things that only God can do. For sure. Like, when we are praying like we should, we will crave things only God can do. However, here's the other part of prayer that's fascinating to me. Because as it produces wisdom and awareness in us, we realize how often we are the answer to our own prayers, or our community is the answer to our own prayers, and God designed it to be that way. And here's what I mean. It doesn't mean that like God's letting himself off the hook. It's just like, this is like a beautiful way that God has designed us to be. And so get this, like sometimes we'll pray, God, will you just, like, I know people are starving in this world, but, like, will you just, and people need water, and will you just rain down bread and rain down water and Gatorade so people, so we pray for the supernatural. Now, could God do something like that? Sure. But here's how I think God would actually answer a prayer like that. He would say, you guys could cure this tomorrow if you genuinely cared about everybody else. So it's not like we're on the ground wailing in prayer for like, what could be done? God's just like, I mean, here's the wisdom and understanding that you need. If you just cared about people, if you just, it's at your fingertips. Now, then there are those supernatural things, those impossible things that only God can do. But as we begin to pray like that, then here's what it does. It sets our heart and we have these, you'll feel it. You'll be like, God, this is only you. This, only you could do this. I think about this in our church all the time, like, only God can do this. Like, only God can make people come. Only God can, like, experience. Only God, like, in those moments you need a miracle, you're praying for healing or somebody. Like, only God, and we believe in those things. Why? Not because we just quickly need to do it, but we believe, why? Because we've set ourselves up to have the right focus. We've set ourselves up to be engaged with God in the right way, and that's what prayer begins to do. And prayer also will produce in us a heart for the kingdom. You know, when Jesus says, he gives us a model to pray. He doesn't say you have to pray the exact words. That's not what it's about. It's just a framework to think through. And he says this line in one of his prayers. He just says, hey, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so what you'll discover as you continue to pray, and it becomes a vibrant part of your very being and your faith, you'll discover your prayers will start to shift. And it'll be like, God, I want your will in my life. God, I want your kingdom built. God, I want to be a part of what you want. And whatever happens for me, I get it, but I want your will. It changes everything. So what can you practically do? Well, I think you should begin and end your days with prayer. And it's going to look different for everybody, even timing-wise. Sometimes it'll be shorter, sometimes it'll be longer. For some of you guys, like, prayer is really easy. For others of you, it's not. Prayer is not easy for me. I have to, like, work at it. It's not something that comes naturally to me. It's hard sometimes. And so it's like my mom is like naturally gifted in prayer. Like she comes here. And so if you ever hear like Ann Wagler's praying for you, you'd be like, yeah, this is good. Like you're in good shape. And so, or if she's praying against something, then you're in bad shape. But like there is a reality like that she's just, and part of that is just decades of practice. And that's just part of the deal. That's part of the deal. But make it a priority in your life. Like, start and end your day with it. And then you'll find yourself even intermittently during the day just saying little prayers. Lacey writes all of her prayers down. All of her prayers down. And what's really cool about that is, so every morning, like, I'll come back from the gym, and she's up there, she's on the couch, like, usually 6:15 in the morning, and she's writing down all of her prayers. And what's really cool is she's able to look back at prayers. She's been doing this for years now. She's just got books and books of prayers. And many of you are actually in the books. And so what's really cool is she gets to see how God has answered prayers in different ways. So you can write down your prayers. So there's a lot of different things you can do. We do 21 days of prayer here twice a year. And then a 7-day leading up to Easter. We're going to be doing another one in August. And we're going to be changing it up how we do it so we can get everyone to participate together. But prayer becomes a vital part. And again, I can't emphasize this enough. We will not be able to be connected to God like we should unless we pray. All right? Let's pray.